Jewelers guest line. Joining us now are ESPN MLB Insider, as he does every week. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. What's going on, guys?
You're doing better than David Wright is for my New York Mets. That's it, huh? I guess he'll never live up to the potential I thought he was going to live up to.
20 years ago.
Well, he was a really good player for a long time, but I mean, the fact is he's got this regressive condition in his back, and you know, had neck surgery last year, and Tim Kirkchen was on the podcast that I do this morning, my colleague at ESPN, and he mentioned that in talking with folks there, they said that he wasn't throwing more than 60 feet anyway, and I mean, this is a guy who, you know, needs to play Major League third base, and he's a million miles away, and given his condition, I'm you know, it feels like the Mets did a really good job of setting up for the likelihood that he was going to have a breakdown. They're going to play Jose Reyes at third base, so they're all set there. And you do wonder, you know, does this lead to more conversation between David and the team at some point, whether he's going to go down the same path as Prince Fielder, where he basically just gets put on the DL moving forward. Because his real value to the team, his most significant value to the team, might actually be in terms of his, you know, in terms of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, might be on the DL because they can recoup some of the money on insurance and spend it on other players.
Oh,
obviously, much different circumstances for causing their fall. One of them sort of self-destructive, but who's had a further fall in your opinion, David Wright or Josh Hamilton?
Oh, Josh Hamilton, jeez.
Yeah. With Josh Hamilton, you think about it, it was, you know, only 4 years ago that he got that five-year, $125 million contract from the Angels. You know, the Mariners certainly dodged a bullet in the bidding there because they almost wound up signing him, and now he goes to Texas, 11 knee surgeries. And he, you know, he, like David Wright, probably has to start thinking about the question of whether or not this is the end of his career.
Buster, who are we good sleeping on? Who do you think maybe bounces back, has a big year? Somebody that you're looking for during spring training to kind of watch? Who are we not paying attention to?
Well, since you're a Mets guy, I'll talk about Michael Conforto, who, all these injuries, it's interesting because coming into spring training, of course, you know, we knew David Wright was trying to work his way back. We knew Lucas Duda, who had back problems, their first baseman, was trying to work his way back. And Duda is now having hip problems. You know, David, as we talked about, is out. And because of the falling dominoes, all of a sudden, some playing time might be opened up for Michael Conforto, a former number one pick for the Mets, who looks tremendous. You know, I talked to him last week. He changed his diet. You know, he talked with great regret how he cut pasta out of his diet. He said he hated it, but he feels a lot better. And he's having a really good spring training. So I think if you were to drop a list of potential breakout guys, he would certainly be on that list. And I do, and we've talked about Benintendi. You know, I keep on hearing from scouts about what a monster he looks like.
Yeah, and he hit one today, so in a losing cause, I guess, for the Sox. But speaking of guys hitting the ball, I mean, I hate to even bring him up because it's just and he's such a great guy. But Tim Tebow, I guess, hit 9 home runs in his first workout today. Where do you think he ends up, if anywhere, to start the season?
Yeah, that was the headline on his workout, you know, that he hit 9 home runs in batting practice. And, oh, by the way, 2,000 other players did too, okay, on the same day. Look, he's getting a lot of attention because he was, you know, a football player and a really great one. But I wrote the other day that I think it's fine if, you know, if everyone is interested in him. But let's always remember the true context, which is he's a billion miles away from being someone who can hit major league pitching. And all you need to know, I see a lot of parallels between what Tebow's trying to do and what Michael Jordan tried to do when he left the Chicago Bulls for a time, went down to the minor leagues. Hey, you guys remember at that time, Michael Jordan was regarded as the best athlete in the world, and because, you know, the body parts that worked so well for him in basketball suddenly became a liability in baseball, and in his case, that was a long arms and trying to cover the strike zone. He was never effective, and now you have Tebow. What you keep on hearing from evaluators who've seen him, they say, incredible work ethic, great mentoring, but he's just too damn big, and he has no experience, and he's got a kind of a stiff swing, and which obviously would be a really big, big issue if he were to move up the ladder. You know, I think probably this year Tebow will play in low minor leagues, you know, maybe Port St. Lucie. He'll sell some tickets. From all accounts, he'll be great with his teammates because he'll nudge them on a daily basis. But let's not pretend that he's a major league prospect.
Oh, boy. Buster Olney, our ESPN Major League Baseball insider in the huddle with Rich Annone on 101.3 ESPN. Price, Porcello, and Sale. I'd be disappointed if each one of them didn't have 15 wins this year, at least 15 wins.
Yeah, and I think that that's, you know, it's legitimate to expect something like that. I think Porcello certainly came into his own last year with how he used his fastball, and because we've been talking about him seemingly for 50 years, we forget that he's only 27, 28 years old.
Wow.
Because he came up to the big leagues at 19, 20 years old with the Detroit Tigers. Chris Sale is on a mission. I talked to him again the other day, and boy, you talk about focus, and David Price has talked about how he's never looked forward to a season like this one because he knows he's got some stuff to prove.
Buster, I know you hear these questions every spring. I mean, a Thornburg for the Sox got absolutely blasted today. He gave up 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning, and Aaron Judge hit a 700-foot home run the other day for the Yankees, so all of a sudden everybody's excited about him. I mean, how much do you take out of these situations game to game down in Florida?
It's a great question, and I really think it depends player to player. I mean, let's face it, if you are a young player in spring training, you are going to benefit from performing well and getting good results. So if a young pitcher in his first major league camp throws up a bunch of zeros, yeah, you know, that probably is meaningful. I can't tell you how many times starting pitchers would struggle in spring training. Mariano Rivera at the top of that list, and you know, the scouts would talk about lack of velocity and there's a problem, and then the season starts and it all goes away. I will tell you one player who I think his slow start in spring training is a concern, and that's Jason Hayward, because he had a terrible year with the Cubs last season at the plate after signing a $184 million contract. He worked in the offseason to revamp his hitting mechanics. He was hitless this spring in his first 8 at-bats with 2 strikeouts. You know, I suspect because of his history, his ups and downs as a hitter, it would really benefit him and his confidence to get good results early. And I also think, I mean, the fact is that if he does not hit early for the Cubs in the 2017 season, they're no longer going to treat him as, okay, we paid you a lot of money, so you're the starting outfielder every day. He'll fall back into the mix of outfielders, and they'll probably look at him as a late-inning guy and maybe a platoon-type player unless he starts to hit, because he was awful last year.
Buster, speaking about hitting, Dustin Pedroia, and I didn't even think about this coming into the year, going to hit leadoff, it looks like, for the Red Sox. You think that's going to last all year, or you think that's a good move there? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's going to last all year. You know, that was something that he's done well in the past. And you look at the other guys in their lineup, and the fact that it's a very right-handed lineup, and they're going to use Benintendi to split up the right-handed hitters. Pedroia won. Benintendi's going to bat second for them. Bogart's third. Betts fourth. And just speaking of Betts the other day, guys, or about Dustin the other day, guys, I was bumped into Alex Bregman of the Astros, terrific young player, and he told me a great story about how when he was a bat boy at the University of New Mexico, he's 8, 9, 10 years old, and the Lobos that day are getting blown out. It's the 9th inning, and a guy on the other team hits a chopper to shortstop and goes all out toward first base, dives head first into the first base bag, trying to get another hit. And in telling the story, Alex didn't even tell me whether it was a hit or not, but it didn't matter because all he talked about was, you know, when I was driving home with my dad that day, he said, that's the type of effort you want to put in, and that player was Dustin Pedroia, who was at Arizona State at the time. And the next day, coincidentally, I was in Red Sox camp, and I walked up to Dustin, and I said, hey, I heard a story from Alex Bregman, and he started to smile midway through, and then he looked at me and said, you know what, that makes me feel really, really old that you're telling me a story from a bat boy.
By the way, Buster, if you're hearing music, we're at Patrick Gym, and they just decided to crank music.
No, we're at a bar, and we're getting out on the dance floor.
Yeah, go ahead. You guys can cover it up. I know you're in a bar someplace.
Well, we have to wait at least an hour or so. Thanks, Buster.
Thanks.
We really appreciate your time, buddy.
Appreciate it,
Good
Buster.
Good to talk with you guys. Take care.